Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, joined today by David Reske of NowSpeed.
Thanks for being here.
And our wonderful host for the day on Radio Entrepreneurs. Appreciate you bringing us in and having our guest today.
Anytime. It's always great to host other entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And our next entrepreneur up is Ryan McKenniff of Minute Women Home Care. Ryan, pleasure having you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Why don't we start? You told us a little bit about the founding of or the background of the name, and you're a big strapping guy to run a company called Minute Women Home Care.
Yeah, for the listeners, I'm about 6 foot six, so I'm not small. And my aunt started the company in '69, and in Lexington, there's a big Minuteman plumbing, Minuteman this, Minuteman that, and she was a woman-owned company, so she went with Minute Women. And then irony would have it that I take over the company, and everybody looks at me weird when I say I'm the owner of Minute Women. So it certainly is a good icebreaker.
Not to be confused with Minute Women, because you're certainly not a minute guy, but really appreciate it. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your company and what it is you guys do?
Sure. It's pretty simple. I mean, we're a home health care company. So when older adults are still wanting to stay in their home, but unfortunately, whether it's physically or mentally, they're declining, they need some assistance with what we call their activities of daily living, which essentially is getting up, getting dressed, bathing, making meals, taking out the trash, things you and I take for granted. It gets more difficult as you age, so we'll bring in caregivers to help them out with some very simple tasks all the way up to more complicated tasks. So,
and does it run the spectrum in terms of, obviously in terms of need, but in terms of how somebody might contract with you, whether they'll need you to come in? Is there, I guess what I'm asking, is there a minimum and a maximum that people can use? Or
Certainly. The minimum in the industry is usually 3 or 4 hours, just because it becomes difficult to get caregivers to travel anywhere for anything less than that. And then we have cases where it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ongoing for years. Unfortunately, somebody just passed away that had been with us for 13, 14 years. So it can run the gamut of somebody that just broke their ankle and needs some recuperation time, and they could be 40 years old but just need some help because they're not mobile, all the way up to somebody who has, unfortunately has dementia and is going to live for another 10 years but doesn't want to go into an assisted living or a nursing home.
And in terms of the caregivers, is that something, if somebody's with you on a long period of time, is it a consistent caregiver, or does that move around depending on scheduling? I know that's probably one of the back office logistics deals, things that you deal with all the time.
But yeah, one of the fun things we deal with all the time, right? Obviously, the more, the caregivers are looking for steady jobs, so the more hours we can provide them, the more likely that they're going to stay in that position. But obviously, the first week or two with a case, you're getting to know a new person that's in your home, and the caregivers are getting to know a new person that they're caring for. So there can be some personality differences or whatever might come up. That doesn't necessarily mean that the caregiver is inept in what their job is, but it just doesn't click on a certain way. But after a few weeks, and if somebody's using us for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, you should have a consistent caregiver once they understand exactly what the expectations are.
And I would think that that would also provide peace of mind for your client base by having somebody that they're familiar with or comfortable with.
Absolutely. But I mean, at the same time, you do want a few caregivers that have been in there and are comfortable with that case as well, in case the main caregiver is sick or going away on vacation, so somebody can fill in and understand what's going on in the expectation levels versus a person coming in that has no idea what they're getting into, and then you might have that difficulties that I mentioned before.
So it sounds like it's a service that really makes a powerful impact on people's lives. Personally, why did you decide to get involved in this business? Sounds like a family business, but
yeah.
How did you make the decision to get involved?
I didn't really make the decision as much as life kind of made the decision for me. I grew up locally here, and my parents, like many retirees, went down to Florida, and I scooted out to Colorado to have fun. And unfortunately, my mom got sick, and she got cancer, and it was terminal. I moved back down to Florida to be with her for the last few months that she had, and we had 24-hour home care. We had hospice in there. I had those experiences of the good and the bad of that situation, and my aunt, who was obviously helping out the best that she could with me and my dad and my mom, said, "I've been looking for somebody to take over Minute Women. You've always wanted to own your company. We're now kind of in this situation where you've learned a lot about this service very quickly, and why don't you give it a shot?" And I said, "Absolutely, let's give it a shot." So not in a million years, 10 years ago, would I be saying that I would be sitting here doing an interview in Massachusetts, because I was prepared to live out in Colorado for the rest of my life. So it's funny how life
Circumstances take you.
Take you on a journey. And, you know, I say the last gift my mom was able to give me was the opportunity to help other people and obviously own my own business and find my own independence. So I kind of look at it that way.
Yeah, very, very powerful story. So, you know, as you've kind of dove into the business and as you've been running it for these years, what are your biggest challenges? How do you think about the business today?
Well, the biggest challenges are you know, caregiver retention is important. Finding good employees, whether it doesn't matter what industry you are, it's always important to find good employees and people that you can trust and are loyal and do a great job. And additionally, you know, going up against some of the bigger franchises and doing that type of marketing and getting our name out there. Private home care is a popular business to be in. You know, obviously people know what the demographics are with baby boomers and the World War II generation getting older. So there are a lot of home care companies out there. So we do our best to differentiate ourselves in providing the best services possible. But those are certainly two areas that can become difficult is caregiver retention and getting our name out there and exposure, which I appreciate the opportunity here.
I would imagine one of the other things, and I don't know if it's increased over the last 5 years, but you're in a industry that's has become increasingly more regulated. How have you dealt with some of those challenges? Is that something that keeps you up at night and dealing with regulation within the industry or licensing? Or I'm not sure what the various regulations, but
sure.
I know that there are more and more around you know, home care and patient care in general.
Well, actually, I'd have to disagree with you on the regulation. The regulation really comes in when you're getting reimbursed by Medicare or Medicaid. Okay. Everything that I do is privately paid. So there isn't as much regulation as I'd like. There's a company or an organization, I should say, called the Home Care Alliance of Massachusetts. And we voluntarily became accredited by them, which is really important, where we do follow their regulations. But currently, from a state or federal-wide regulations, there really isn't much.
Interesting.
As long as you have insurance and you have, you know, workers' comp, you can become a private home care company. Doesn't mean you're going to be the best one, because there obviously are people out there that their hiring practices maybe aren't as great as other people's, but the regulation really comes in when you're dealing with Medicare and Medicaid, not as much with the private industries.
That's really interesting. Sorry, David, but really interesting that I find, because at the two ends of the spectrum, you have kids and you have older adults. And the challenges of both ends is that's probably our most vulnerable population in a lot of ways. And to hear that there's not a lot of regulation around it, it's probably why we hear these horror stories of people being unfortunately abused in those cases.
Absolutely. I mean, it's difficult. I'm certainly, you know, pro more regulation, because it's going to make Minutewomen look that much better. But you know, currently at this point in time, since it's considered non-medical home care, we're not actually doing any medical services for people. The state looks at us just like a house cleaning company or a landscaper, somebody that's coming in providing a service, and they pay me money and I give them either a good service or a bad service.
I want to come back to one of your challenges that you mentioned about the marketing side of this. Mm-hmm. As a marketer, I think about this a lot. How do you reach your audience? How do you engage them and communicate those differentiators against some of your competition? What works best for you today?
Well, you know, briefly, when I took over the company, I got a home care coach, and his idea was to go into nursing homes and go into assisted livings and hospitals and speak with the social workers. I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but my experience was, there are tons of people going in asking for those types of referrals, not just in private home care, but in many different associated industries like ambulances, hospice, things like that. And I found that I was just bothering people. So I ended up switching it up a little bit, and I started going online and doing, you know, things like Facebook advertisements, because you can go to a specific demographic. I started looking at search engine optimization and getting our website up to date, getting videos on our website, doing more blogging and more content creation marketing, because it seemed that all of my competitors were going down one avenue that was increasingly more difficult. But when I looked at my competitors' websites, they weren't really as up to date as I would have expected them to be. So I kind of went the path of least resistance, if that makes sense.
Well, and that's great to hear. I mean, obviously, as an agency, we're always a proponent of content marketing and thinking about that. But how do you measure the results? How do you see your investment in your website and digital advertising payoff?
Well, you know, we always ask like how people have heard from us when they call us up, whether they use our services or not. And we've just seen a lot more people saying, hey, I went on your website, I found it, I liked the video. I think videos are important to make it more personal and have somebody understand my story and what I've been through. And we just really just ask how they're finding out about us. Now, certainly since we've been in business since 1969, there are people that may have used us for a different service that we used to do childcare back in the day as well. So they might have used us for child service, you know, in the 70s, and then now need us for home care nowadays. So certainly being around for 46, 45 plus years, the word of mouth is great, and it provides a foundation. But that's how I've gone about trying to find where people are finding us out about.
So it's really fascinating that you cite predominantly digital media as your source of marketing. Mm-hmm. Yet your customer, your end user customer tends to be skew, obviously, an older and infirm demographic. Mm-hmm. Is the first person that contacts you generally a family member, or is that a misnomer? That, you know, your customer is digitally savvy and they are using Facebook and the internet to find services.
Yeah, it's very rare that somebody in their 70s, 80s, or 90s are going to call us up and say, I need help. Usually the adult child right around 50 years old is going to be the person that says, Mom or Dad, I can't take care of you anymore because I'm working. I'm trying to raise my own children. We're going to have to look at some type of senior care option, whether that's private home care, assisted living, or a nursing home, but we need to have that conversation. I can't go in and force anybody to do anything because I'm going to look like the dirty salesman trying to get somebody's money. But so unfortunately, the adult child needs to be the quote-unquote bad guy in that situation and have that tough conversation with a family member.
What's really unfortunate in our society is I think very few of us are trained to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And we're mostly brought up in this society to have deference to our parents, and if they say I'm not ready, I'm not ready. You know, and that's something that you must encounter on a regular basis with people.
Yeah, I would say the majority of people that call us up, you know, obviously the internet has made it easier to research things, but there are certainly a lot of cases we've gotten where, you know, they're deer in headlights. They don't know what they're getting into. They don't understand the differences between things. And I don't blame them, because when my mom got sick, I didn't know the difference between home care and hospice and all the different certified versus non-certified and all those different types of services. So most of the time, this is the first, you know, nobody wants to talk about the end and death and slowing down. It's not a comfortable situation. So I think it's just human nature to avoid it until it's confronted you and you need to have that conversation.
Although the challenge is at that point, you're dealing with the emotional aspect, and having been in similar situations, you're in the quicksand at that point.
Yeah.
And things are moving quickly, and so to speak, and you've got to make decisions.
Absolutely. It's always interesting when you're sitting down with a family of four or five brothers or sisters and everybody's got a different point of view, and you're just kind of like, you guys need to talk this out before
we're here when you need us.
Exactly,
you guys work
exactly.
It out.
And do you provide some content or resources to help people think about that or help kind of coach them through those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're always happy to sit down with anybody and just talk to them about senior care in general. I mean, I've had nurses go out and we do something called a nurse supervisory visit, where a nurse goes out, assesses the situation, and have the nurse come back and say, listen, you're going to fail at providing this person private home care. They need to be in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no point in taking somebody on that's going to be unhappy with your services and we're going to be unhappy with the situation. I'd rather talk to somebody and say, hey, listen, this is more appropriate for you than private home care, or here are your options, make your decision. And, you know, there's no real hard sell with me, because I find it that people are going to find their own way after getting all the information.
So just so our listeners understand the range of services that you provide, it sounds like some of them are, you know, home assistance, where somebody is more of a set of hands and an able body and not highly skilled, all the way up through nurses who may have medical training and capability to deliver more robust service. Is that the spectrum? Or
yeah, I can define it a little bit better.
Probably.
there are things called companions that will help somebody get to and from a doctor's appointment, and sometimes just be there to, but just be a companion to making sure that somebody's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your home health aide that's going to be dealing with showering, bathing, cleaning up after using the bathroom. The nurses, I mean, we certainly could do hourly nursing care, but that gets expensive very quickly. So a nurse is going out there for a specific task, like managing their medications or helping with diabetes or dealing with a catheter or a colostomy bag. So there are companies that can do hourly 24-hour nurses care, but there's a very few people that can afford that for a long period of time.
Very fascinating stuff. It sounds as though you're in a marketplace that is sure to heat up, and you've come into it at a good time over the last 5 years, and I'm sure over the next decades to come. So I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for coming into Radio Entrepreneurs and sharing your story. And you know, it really was a pleasure to get to see the man behind the Minute Women.
Thanks for having me.
Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Ryan McKenniff of Minute Women Home Care. And Ryan, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Our phone number is pretty easy. It's 1-844-BEST-CARE, so a very easy toll-free number.
Excellent. And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.